each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome on a beautiful day in Chicago. It's a special day. Special day for some. Someone. Why is this day different from other days?
Here's your answer.
That means somebody was born on this day.
At 2 o'clock in the morning.
At 2 in the morning.
Oh, you just give away your time.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you can do that, but you can't tell us your age.
Oh, I don't have a problem.
I want to ask you.
I'm 39.
Oh, I was wondering.
Like
I thought,
Jack Benny.
Okay. For sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm 39,
I keep
yes.
thinking you have 20.
Well, the 20s were the best.
Happy birthday, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Yes. I want to thank everybody for their birthday wishes. Oh, Catherine, by the way, I'm wearing the necklace you sent me.
Catherine. Who's Catherine?
Luchek.
Oh, Luchek. Oh, Catherine, mm-hmm. Luchek.
Yeah.
Okay, happy birthday, Christine.
Thank
Two
you.
O'clock
yes,
in the morning,
birthday.
Huh?
2 o'clock in the morning, my mother told me.
What a horrific time to be born, right? 2 in the morning?
And I was born with my feet on the ground.
And you've kept your feet on the ground.
I try.
You do. You did. Well, happy birthday.
I try to hold on to God's hand.
Oh, yes.
What was your? So you say your 20s. I can't see. I keep thinking of you, because I've known Christina since she was in high school, believe
mm-hmm.
it or not.
Yes.
So interesting. Wow.
That's a long time ago.
I went to her concert when she was a senior in high school.
Yes.
When she's playing the drums, you know. And she's been singing for us ever since, you know.
Yes.
But I hired her, actually, right?
Yes, you did.
How many years? How many years are you working at the parish?
18.
18 years.
Mm-hmm. June 7th was my first day.
That's amazing.
I remember.
Wow.
What was your? So I keep thinking you as being in your early 20s. You know, you don't look a day over 22, to be honest.
Thank you.
But what was your favorite birthday? Do you have a favorite?
A favorite birthday?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all special.
Yeah.
I thank God for the gift of life.
We had Mass and for you this morning.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best gift is prayers. The Mass, of course.
Tonight as well.
Yes, I need all the prayers. Masses.
Did your father serenade the Las Mañanitas?
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, that usually happens in the morning, right?
Usually in the morning, but
you're
I was
just
asleep.
Not up. He doesn't want to wake you up. That's his gift to you.
That's why,
wake
yeah,
you up.
I want my beauty sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's why I'm not a morning person.
Not that
I'm
you,
a late
that
person.
You need it. Maybe. Yeah.
I'm a late. That's why I'm not a morning person because I was born at 2.
Although I think if you were born at 2, you'd be a morning person, and you'd be.
I would
think
so.
I would think so.
Well,
but
to me, that's still night.
It's
to me, that's still nighttime.
Exactly. Wow. Well, happy birthday.
Thank
Did your
you.
Birds sing to you this morning?
Oh, the birds, yeah, they always serenade me, my yeah. birds.
Can they sing a happy birthday?
No, they just do their thing, their style of
yeah.
singing.
Well, fantastic. Anyway, happy birthday, Christina.
Thank you. And I want to thank Karen, Marky, Yolanda Vargas, and Catherine.
Fantastic.
Oh, your cousin, Darlene.
Yeah,
Ken.
Wow.
Your cousin Diane.
Wow, we get all these people.
Everybody. Oh, and David and Dorothy.
As oh yeah, well. Sure.
For
yeah.
The thank you for the gift, the birthday gift. I've been playing they gave me a Gregorian chant CD, and
nice.
I've been playing it. It's beautiful.
Nice. You know, we have just as you speak of Gregorian chant, we have the Marine. We got a Miller. I think I got to actually. Bring her on the show, I think, is what mm-hmm. I need to do, because she has done this beautiful pictures mm-hmm. and a video of the parish, two different videos.
Oh.
But it's absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it brings out the beauty of the church. I mean, you see things that you normally wouldn't see because people mm-hmm. don't always, well, for one thing, the church is so big. So, mm-hmm. But she brings some of the artwork very, very close. Like even outside, if you're looking at the church and there's a statue of mm-hmm. St. Stanislaus Kostka, she brings it right up to your
very
face.
Very close. Beautiful. And the color, she brings them to life.
Exactly, yeah.
Beautiful.
What do you prefer? There's the day shots and the night shots.
The night shots are mystical.
Yes, exactly.
The inside of the church, even outside, she has one picture of the exterior, the front, the facade of the church.
Right.
At night, so there's a mysticism.
It is. It's beautiful. I like the night shots. The day shots are nice, but I like
beautiful.
The night shots.
Yes.
They're my favorite. And I like the black and white. There's some black and white.
Yes.
I've always liked black and white.
Mm-hmm.
When I have my picture taken, I like to have it taken in black and white.
We'll remember that.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because your face looks flawless.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody
yeah.
looks great.
Yeah. There's something about, you look back at the old movies in black mm-hmm. and white, and everybody looked just great, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Geraldine, how are you doing today?
Good, very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've already, did you wish?
Yeah, no, thank you, Geraldine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she gave me a gift. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Karen Lewandowski, too.
Yeah.
And a reminder that all the best people are born in July.
Yeah.
My mother. And you, Geraldine.
Yes,
that's right.
Father. Yes.
Well, well, I don't know.
That blows it right there.
Yeah.
No, the smart and the talented people are born in July.
Yeah, Oscar's born in July, too.
Thank you, Oscar, too. Yeah, he's the birthday
wishes. Oscar, Jeremy. Well, gosh, I can't believe. And then the second best, I suppose, are born in April, right?
Oh, I could say that, sure.
And the third in June. That mm-hmm. would be Nick, the third best. Anyway, where's Tony today?
I don't know. I don't know if he's tardy. He didn't send me a message. So I don't,
all right.
Unless he's outside. I don't know, Father. I have all these. Oh, okay. Stuck in traffic.
Okay.
See you at the break. Okay.
All right. Well, tell him just to turn around
Tony.
And go home. You know, if he can't start out early enough to get here on time, then
he can't come.
Yeah, you didn't remember my birthday, Tony.
He didn't remember.
He put happy birthday after he heard us talking.
Oh. All
right,
nice try, Tony.
What do you expect, right? That's Tony. That's Tony.
That's
right?
Tony. Tardy Tony.
Tardy Tony. Anyway, wow. So tomorrow is Independence Day, and we can talk
about
that.
Or the vigil of
the
Independence Day.
Right. But, you know, I'd like to do something. I want to go back to the marriage thing, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because on Monday, I was not on the show Tuesday, and I wasn't here yesterday.
Right.
So this is Monday. I was speaking about this decision from basically a biblical point of view. You know, mm-hmm. just taking Paul in his letter to the Romans and all that. But I want to share with you, this is very interesting, you know, because on one hand, you know, we're Catholics, and so we're looking at it from a Catholic perspective and looking to our leadership, you know, to see, you know, what are they saying and how do we respond? This is a question I'm getting from a number of people, and some people have even come up to me personally and said, how do I respond
mm-hmm.
to my friends, people who do support this this decision of the Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
and we can keep that in mind, and,
sure.
and you can maybe ask, tell me how would you respond? How would you respond? But before we do that, I want to share with you this is going to be read at all the churches on Sunday.
Is it? Yes.
This right here, not the Catholic churches. This is a different. This is from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, this is really, really, let me just share this with
mm-hmm,
you, because
sure.
this is what they're going to be, they're sharing this with their people. This is it's coming from the leadership of the Mormon Church. And of course, they stand with us as most, although the Episcopal Church just decided, they voted to redefine marriage, basically. They've voted to
I'm not surprised.
To
sanction. Not surprised,
not
at,
surprised
all.
No. at all.
But anyway, this is the letter. This is what's to be read at all the Mormon churches, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
mm-hmm.
Saints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like this very much. I wanted to share this with you because this is right to the point, and it just, in a very succinct way, it should be our immediate response as well. Because of the recent decision of the United States Supreme Court and similar legal proceedings and legislative actions in a number of countries that have given civil recognition to same-sex marriage relationships, the Council of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints restates and reaffirms the doctrinal foundation of church teachings on morality, marriage, and the family. And as we do, we encourage all to consider these teachings in the context of the plan of salvation of our Heavenly Father's purposes in creating the earth and providing for our mortal birth and experience here as His children. Marriage between a man and a woman was instituted by God and is central to His plan for His children and for the well-being of society. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Strong families, guided by a loving mother and father, serve as a fundamental institution for nurturing children, instilling faith, and transmitting to future generations the moral strengths and values that are important to civilization and vital to eternal salvation. I mean, that's so beautiful and right to the point. A family built on marriage of a man and a woman is the best setting for God's plan of happiness to thrive. That is why communities and nations generally have encouraged and protected marriage between a man and a woman and the family that results from their union as privileged institutions. Sexual relations outside of such a marriage are contrary to the laws of God pertaining to morality. That's right to the point. Changes in the civil law do not, indeed cannot, change the moral law that God has established. God expects us to uphold and keep His commandments, regardless of divergent opinions or trends in society. Listen to this. His law of chastity is clear. Where do you hear that word anymore these days?
Yeah.
I mean, I speak about it. I've been following the response of our bishops. And I'm tempted to read this at Mass on Sunday, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
His law of chastity is clear. Sexual relations are proper only between a man and a woman who are legally mm-hmm. and lawfully wedded as husband and wife. Mm-hmm. We invite all to review and understand the doctrine contained in the family, a proclamation to the world. This is one of their documents. Consistent with our fundamental beliefs, church officers will not employ their ecclesiastical authority to perform marriages between two people of the same sex, and the church does not permit its meeting houses or other properties to be used for ceremonies, receptions, or other activities associated with same-sex marriages. This has also been the response of the bishop in Louisiana, by the way, the Catholic bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, all visitors are welcome to our chapels and premises so long as they respect our standards of conduct while there.
Beautiful.
The gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us to love and treat all people with kindness and civility, even when we disagree. We affirm that those who avail themselves of laws or court rulings authorizing same-sex marriage should not be treated disrespectfully. Indeed, the church has advocated for rights of same-sex couples in matters of hospitalization and medical care, fair housing and employment, and probate, as long as these do not infringe on the integrity of the traditional family or the constitutional rights of churches. The church insists on its leaders and members' right to express and advocate religious convictions on marriage, family, and morality free from retaliation or retribution. The church is also entitled to maintain its standards of moral conduct and good standing for members. As members of the church, we are responsible to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to illuminate the great blessings that flow from heeding God's commandments, as well as the inevitable consequences of ignoring them. We invite all to pray that people everywhere will have their hearts softened to the truths God established in the beginning, and that wisdom will be granted to those who are called upon to decide issues critical to society's future. This is really, of all the things that I've read since a week ago when the Supreme Court redefined marriage as the law of the land. This is the most succinct, most clear, mm-hmm. most beautifully, just very beautifully expresses what we believe, what we espouse.
Right.
I'm tempted to read this at all the masses on Sunday. And then they have a series of questions, you know, to help the people, you know. There's a couple I want to just point out here, but the question is for the people. So as the people understand, what is the church's policy on homosexual relations? Homosexual behavior violates the commandments of God, is contrary to the purposes of human sexuality, and deprives people of the blessings that can be found in family life and in the saving ordinances of the gospel. Those who persist in such behavior or who influence others to do so are subject to church discipline. This is the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexual behavior can be forgiven through sincere repentance. If members engage in homosexual behavior, church leaders should help them have a clear understanding of faith in Jesus Christ, the process of repentance, and the purpose of life on earth. While opposing homosexual behavior, the church reaches out with understanding and respect to individuals who are attracted to those of the same gender. If members feel same-gender attraction but do not engage in any homosexual behavior, leaders should support and encourage them in their resolve to live the law of chastity and to control unrighteous thoughts. These members may receive church callings if they are worthy and qualified in every other way. They may also hold temple recommends and receive temple ordinances. It's very interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very again, right to the point. This is what we believe. This is who we are. This is again. We're grounded in the Word of God. Now the question is, and this is the initial question I had asked. What would you say? I've had people ask me this question. How do I respond respectfully to those who consider the church's position on this matter unchristian? And the response, the Mormon Church is offering this response to the people asking this question. Our objection, the same-sex marriage is not based on animosity toward anyone, but on our understanding of God's purposes for His children. For us, the issues are not simply tolerance and equality. The issues are the nature of marriage and the consequences of redefining a divinely established institution. In addition, redefining marriage in the law can have profound consequences for society, particularly for children. Mothers and fathers matter, and they are not interchangeable. On the subject of public discourse, we should all follow the gospel teachings to love our neighbor and avoid contention. Followers of Christ should be examples of civility. We should be good listeners, show concern for the sincere belief of others. Though we may disagree, we should not be disagreeable. We should be wise in explaining our position, and in doing so, ask that others not be offended by our sincere religious beliefs and the free exercise of our religion. It's very beautifully written, very respectful, and to the point. And now what about another question? What if I have reservations of my own regarding the church's position on this subject? And the response is, members who have doctrinal questions should make a diligent effort, including earnest prayer and scripture study, to find solutions and answers themselves. Church members are encouraged to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit to help them in their personal lives and in family and church responsibilities. And if members still need help, they should counsel first with their bishop. If necessary, he may refer them to the stake president. I'm not sure what that is, but anyway. But this is what the letter is. What they're reading is being read at all the churches mm-hmm. on Sunday, the Mormon churches, and then they provide these. There's other questions too. Questions, and then what would your response be? It's a very 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 easy to understand, very succinct, very clear. Response to the question, because the bottom line is, what would you say if somebody came to you, or let's say you're in the presence of others who want you to applaud the fact that they're getting married, How would you respond? What would you do? What would you say? What can you say?
Well, it happened to me at the Thanksgiving meal. I was challenged publicly, but I said, you know what? I have to obey God's law. Because, we have rights. There are no rights outside his laws. And I'm no one. What do you think? I'm no one. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what he wants, what he thinks, what he expects from us. And if people don't like it, well, you know what? You don't have to answer to me. We all have to answer to God. Sure. So I stand where he stands.
The question, I guess, it comes up: Do we have a right to marriage? Is it somebody's right to marriage? Just as the same thing with a priesthood, do we have a right to the priesthood? See, all this has to be discerned and has to be the church, actually, in the case of the priesthood and marriage. I just don't think that we take marriage seriously, and I'll make some reference to some other commentaries today as well. But nobody has a right to the priesthood. Nobody has a right to marriage. That's why there's a preparation that goes into marriage, so that's, you know, to make sure that there are no impediments, or that there's it's a free choice on the part of the man and the woman who are entering into this covenant before God, because it's in God and with God, for God and through God. It's, as I say so often at the weddings, this isn't about you, it's about God. You know, it's about God. But I don't know that we have that understanding. So I do think, as I've heard so often said in the past week, that it's an awakening call where we have to wake up and we have to really take a good look at our catechesis and what we're communicating to the people. See, we don't realize how so powerfully we're influenced by the society, the culture we're in, but it's got a powerful impact on us. And in some ways, it perhaps is all this is a little bit new in the sense that we don't have the mobility of society. We don't have these homogeneous communities where you basically you're born and you're raised among your own people, so to speak, right? Your family, your extended family, your ethnic, you know, I've said this so often before, but you just look at Chicago, what Chicago was. And I'm not saying we can't go back to that. The landscape is literally the landscape has changed. But Chicago was defined by communities. It's a city of neighborhoods. People still call it the city of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And so I always just make reference to this Noble Street right here. The church is on Noble Street. But you just go north and south on Noble Street, and you would pass from one neighborhood to another, whether it be Polish, then another Polish neighborhood, even Poles from a different part of Poland. Then you go into the German neighborhood, and then to the Italian neighborhood, and then into the Irish neighborhood. And so you were raised. It was the neighborhood that raised a child in a sense, for good or for bad. Sure. But for the most part, you know, for good in the sense that there wasn't this real pressing question about who you were. You know, this is how you were raised. This is who you are. Right. This is our faith. This is what we do. You know, when I speak about the death of Catholic culture, cultural Catholicism, it's that it was predictable, right? That this is what happened. This is basically how your life would be lived. This is what you do. This is how we, you know, just take the customs and the traditions, and maybe perhaps an individual, doesn't question the person of Christ Jesus, except that, you know, we come from God, we go to God, and in God we live, and that living in God is expressed in the family, in the community, in the neighborhood. But today, certainly, this need for personal relationship with the Lord, because we are foreigners in a strange land. We don't have the support of the homogeneous neighborhood, religiously speaking, morally speaking.
Gone.
It's gone. And to be said that each, you know, families and communities have their issues, their problems, you know. you know, there's a corner bar, a bar on every corner in the
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you look at the old neighborhood. I mean, every corner had a bar, right?
Sure. Yes.
Every block had a funeral home. That's every right, other yeah. every other block had a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And you had your delicatessens, and you had your, but the life was centered around the church, that's around right. the yes. parish. You know, people were identified with their parish, and you had your parents, and for the most part, you know, they stayed together, right? You know. 50-year celebrations of marriage. Mm-hmm. So these are not as common today as they were.
No.
Even in the 30 years that I'm a priest, yes. you know, the first years we were doing 50th anniversaries all the time.
Yes.
And now it's not the case. Not even 25. Not even 25. You know, it's not that common. Whereas before mm-hmm. it was very, very common.
Mm-hmm. And it does make a difference when you have the community. I read this article on the Native American community, how they had a conference or convocation, and they stated clearly that they're banning same-sex marriage.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, so yes. They all got together. I read somewhere,
that?
Yes, that they had a convocation, and they said they're banning.
Now, what community? American Indian?
Native American Indian.
Interesting.
Yes.
Now, that's very interesting.
Yes, and
yeah.
they had the chiefs there.
Wow.
And it was very interesting. I have to bring that article.
Yeah, see, we're so focused on the Catholic
yes.
Church, but mm-hmm. it's interesting as these other religious bodies mm-hmm. begin to respond
yes,
to this. And maybe such a response is an eye-opener in and of itself, mm-hmm. right?
I think that, so.
I would hope.
Yes.
You know, except the Episcopal Church, which is, and other there will be other denominational
sure.
churches
mm-hmm.
that will, they've already basically gone that way. So,
yes.
but very interesting. That's very interesting.
Very interesting.
So the times have changed, and that's why survival or how to respond is gonna. I like the response of the Mormons because it really keeps the focus right on Jesus
yes.
Christ and mm-hmm. the gospel message, and as God has ordained this to be. I understand that Mormonism strictly speaking, because of the Book of Mormon, I don't mm-hmm. know exactly the authority of the Book of Mormon alongside mm-hmm. that of the Bible, but the point is that the basic tenets of the faith, mm-hmm. the Ten Commandments, are they espouse those commandments of God, as do the Jews, and
right.
even in Islam, to a certain extent, not written exactly in the same way, but it seems to me that all the major religions of the world, because this is a law that is written into our hearts.
Yes.
Now things get skewed and deviate, and there's major diabolical deviation. We would say, in fact, that this is a diabolical deviation, all this redefinition and all this. Not to say that people or individuals are possessed, but that there is the enemy is always working to. I mean, I tell you, you gotta bring down these sacred institutions, the church and the family,
mm-hmm.
because that's the bedrock of society. That's
right.
the foundation. As we celebrate Independence Day, you know, you can't argue that. I suppose I was reading it. You know, the nation was founded on certainly Judeo-Christian principles, but it was a kind of, what would you say, a deist, God, you know, a God creator.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the consensus, because these were Judeo-Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christians,
right.
Judeo-Christianity. So you, in that sense, it was homogeneous.
Yeah.
And so there was this collective understanding, mm-hmm. okay, while we're different, from different denominations, and of course the Catholic Church, you know, was instrumental as well, but the Catholic Church has always been at odds with the nation. There's always been a certain discrimination because we're in many ways a foreign religion because we come from, or because who's the head of the church?
Mm-hmm.
The visible head of the church is the Pope in
yes.
Rome, and so even when John F. Kennedy was I remember this even as a just a babe, you know, just a little baby. But when he was his presidency, that there was this: can a Catholic be a president?
Mm-hmm.
Because would his allegiance then mm-hmm. be divided? You know, is he going to defer to Rome, to the Pope, or does he defer to the Constitution and the Declaration, you know, all this. Mm-hmm. And so prior to that time, it wasn't, well, he was the first Roman Catholic president
right.
of the United
right.
States. And I think part of the thing was that after the Second World, because we were a nation of immigrants, especially the urban areas. Mm-hmm. Well, not just the urban areas, but I mean, but it was very well seen and defined in mm-hmm. in Chicago, New York City, and places like that. They basically these two, Boston as well, and these were homogeneous communities: the Italian community, the Polish community, and Catholic communities. And it was after the Second World War, and in many ways, when things really began to change, and American Catholics had proven themselves to be good citizens of the land because right. they fought in the war. They laid down their lives, you know. And of course, you had the beginning of the breakdown of these homogeneous neighborhoods, right? Because mm-hmm. people began there was after the war. There was this movement out of the cities into the suburbs, right?
Right.
So, but it's very interesting, you know, when you think about it. We'll take a break. We'll come back and just further the discussion, right? Okay. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hey, my name's Louis, and I'm the official taster for the Taste of St. Stan's. And I took time out to tell you what's going on because I didn't want to talk with my mouth full, because my mom told me it'd be impolite. Go figure. At the Taste of St. Stan's, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 5, you can taste Hispanic, Polish, Asian, combination, and Chicago experience plates. Could be pizza, could be sausage, in that Chicago experience plate. Tasting's not the only thing you can do. There are kids' games, contests, and karaoke, even if you carry a tune in a bucket. $6 a plate, and the Chicago Experience plate is only $3. Come on down, bring a friend, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 5 p.m. on St. Stan's Church Grounds, Division and Noble. That's two blocks north on Noble, just off Division, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Taste of St. Stan's, Sunday, August 2nd, noon to 5.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. What was that, huh?
That's our cousin Vinny.
Cousin
Vinny.
Guy's creepy.
Hey, come on. That's, you know, Cousin Vinny.
Cousin Vinny.
The man of a thousand faces.
Hey,
well, Tony, you finally come to say happy birthday to Christina.
I turned around, and when you told me to turn around,
I was joking.
But I figured I'd just come back.
I forgot to mention Geraldine and Sophie and her daughters. You know, when you start naming people, you forget people. Everybody. I just want to thank everybody. We're done.
No, for sure.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your support.
How are you?
I'm
Tony.
Great.
You're great.
He hesitated there. Did you notice?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
You're here.
He's not being totally upfront.
It's good to know even here. I get no respect.
Hey, we respect.
Hey, you know we were. He's broke.
If we didn't respect, we wouldn't be honest.
Exactly. With you, that's true.
We're just being real.
Yeah. Keeping it real.
We're just keeping it real.
You heard, were you listening to that?
Yes,
it was
of
beautiful,
course.
The Mormon.
Yes, and you should read that.
What's that?
You should read that.
I think
on Sunday?
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was telling Geraldine I may just put it in the bulletin. I'll tell you, the letter that I wrote this past week, I finally trashed because I just felt like I was a little bit too...
I loved it, though.
It was a good letter. Yeah, after I finished translating it.
I know.
You were giving me a heart attack at that deadline.
I'm sorry.
Anyway. Don't second guess yourself.
No, but this is beautiful. Right. Mm-hmm. This is very right to the point. Now, George Weigel, this was from the Catholic World Report, but he, and it's so true, he said the marriage battle was lost in the culture long before it was lost in the courts, and that the foundation of our culture, he says, the foundations of our culture have eroded now. The new normal insists that literally everything is plastic, malleable, and subject to acts of human will. The result is a moment of profound moral incoherence in which understandings of human nature and human happiness that have stood the test of experience for millennia are being discarded as mere rubbish. And those who resist trashing the moral patrimony of humanity are dismissed as irrational bigots, religious fanatics, or both. The new normal is willfulness on steroids. That is a beautiful way to describe it.
That's true. Yes.
Willfulness on steroids, especially when that willfulness involves human sexuality. Yeah. Nothing, it seems, constitutes aberrant behavior except the public defense of traditional virtue. Mm-hmm. I mean, that too is right to the point, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then he challenges, he says, the Catholic Church in the United States bears its share of responsibility for this incoherence. It was clear 60 years ago in that the old mainline Protestant culture was fading, and that's so true. You know, it really has. Even when we talk about the Episcopal Church, you know, and they've decided, you know, that they're going to redefine the marriage and they're going to perform marriages. I had somebody tell me this, that you've got so many men and women going into the priesthood in the Episcopal Church that they finally they've had to put a stop to it because there aren't the people in the pews. It's interesting. I mean, you got people, but it's just that you get the point, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because basically, you know, the religion is, it's all inclusive. It's we all want to be inclusive, you know, because the doors are, as a Mormon Church said very clearly, you know. Everybody's invited. Everybody can come through this door, but they must respect that this is who we are. This is where we come from. This is what we espouse. This is what constitutes, in our case, we would say, what constitutes the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, as we have to say over and over, but we are sinners. We are flawed. There is disorder. But as we've said so often, the problem is a lack of humility. Mm-hmm. We don't want to. I mentioned the other day, I think Jesus said, I've come not for the healthy, but for the sick, not for the saint, but for the sinner. Who of us is not somewhat sick, somewhat of a sinner? And why is it that we find that offensive?
Because we know we're perfect.
Well, maybe this goes back to the breeding this breeding of narcissism.
I think
narcissism.
So.
The lack of humility. And you're so wonderful.
Lack of humility. That everybody's got to roll up their sleeves and pull up their bootstraps, so to speak, and get in the work of life. Yeah. You know, it's going to cost everybody something. It's a sacrifice. Life is sacrificial.
Yes.
If we don't understand that, you know, it's going to hit us pretty hard. You know, because there's going to come a point when I'm not going to get anything, and I'm not going to get everything I want. Everything I want. It's all about what I want, what I need for my personal happiness, what I want for my personal happiness, and to Hades with you if you're going to get in the way, right? Mm-hmm. Because I want what I want, and where this is a free liberty, you know. We'll be celebrating Independence Day, you know, and I'll always remember the 1976, this is the 200th anniversary. Why?
Oh, that's the year I was born.
No kidding. Yes. 200 years after the nation was founded, you were brought into this world.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yes. The world, I mean, you were seen with the eyes of the world, and 200 after 200 years of the foundation of the country. Well, Christina, that is amazing.
No, that's why I said I was born with my... No, literally.
1976, really?
Yes, I was born... But I was born feet first. That's why I was born with my feet on the ground.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally, yes. Came I right was out. Born feet first.
Oh,
first.
Because it's normally it's the other way around.
It's
isn't
supposed
it?
To be the head first.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Best. Okay. Yeah.
He's trying right. to get out.
Yep. Wow. I was trying to just start walking, man.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, anyway, in 1976, you wouldn't remember this because you were just...
I was just born. Waking up.
Well, listen, so you were born almost on the anniversary.
I was almost born on the 4th of July.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you're right up there almost with John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
They should put my face
George
on
Washington.
The
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. Yeah. Just kidding.
Anyway, but in 1976, I'll never forget. I was just a young lad at the time. You know, I was very, very, very young, and as the nation was celebrating its 200th anniversary, it was amazing. And even at that age, being very young, because I was 21 years old, and I remember the people being interviewed about American freedom and liberation, all that. And it was across the board. I love the country because you can do anything you want, And this is a distortion because you cannot do everything you want. We have to be able to set the standard. Always go back to St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians, the free reign of the flesh. Mm-hmm. If you give free rein to the flesh, the flesh of its very nature will lust against the spirit. Now, and the flesh, so that you can think it's just all about sex, it's about just the free rein of the flesh.
Right.
Concupiscence, the flesh, literally the flesh, lusting after the things of this world, whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. Again, right. It's just saying that I do what I want. I want, I need, I get, right? Mm-hmm.
I learned at the age of 4 that's not true.
somebody taught you.
I know,
well,
yes.
You know? Yeah. And so this is, if this is how we understand independence, liberty, then we're speaking about libertinaje, no, the free reign of the flesh, which of its very nature will enslave. It'll enslave. It enslaves. That kind of freedom enslaves. If you give free rein to the flesh, if we know alcohol, what it can do, initially this is fine, this is good, this is oh wow, it gives me a wonderful feeling, whatever it might be. Okay, so a little bit more, and before you know it, you're enslaved, you're bound, you're enslaved, you're the slave of this God that has taken possession, has an authority over your life, control over your life. Alcohol, drugs, sex, food, whatever it may be, shopping, sports, exercise, all these things can become gods. They can take control, take authority. That's why there has to be balance in life. And so the free reign of the flesh, this liberty, this freedom, this independence, that says I can do what I want, what I need, when I want, I'll get what I want, however I can. That is, as the scripture says, this kind of freedom, which is no freedom at all because it does enslave, but it'll lust after the Spirit of God, because this the Spirit of God binds us so that we can truly be free. So we have a genuine freedom. And that freedom is, and it's all based on the Ten Commandments, and I always go back to the book of Deuteronomy. These are the laws that are given that Jesus reaffirms and takes us well beyond the law. Obey these laws, and you will stand before the world, the envy of all nations. I think about that, the envy of all nations. I say, what kind of people are these that have such a God who loves them so much that he binds them to these laws that they live with dignity, with nobility, with grace, that they are truly free. Take the neighborhoods. I used to say this so often in our neighborhood here, but if everybody, or just take Chicago, just the city of Chicago. Let's go beyond the neighborhood. How many Catholics are in Chicago? So-called Catholics, over a million, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if all the Catholics were just as this, the Mormons, as I read the the letter that's being read in the Mormon churches, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If we were to read such a letter, I suspect that at some point we might, I would hope, or it's really our charge as pastors to communicate this to the people anyway. We must do this if we're going to be responsible. But if all the Catholics would practice the faith and adhere to the laws of God, with imperfection, of course. Again, when I say this, I always have to say it because somebody says, you know, but with imperfection, but that's where, you know, when you have these, a culture that is, that lives by this consensus that this is what is proper, this is what is right, this is what is of God, this is what's expected of us, these are your responsibilities, these are your obligations, and okay, you fall, we're here to pick you up, right? We're here to pick you up because this is the norm. This is the norm, and this is the way we're moving as a people so that we can live peacefully. But if all the Catholics in Chicago would really take that seriously, then the city would be transformed. It'd be completely, totally transformed. There was a day when you didn't have to lock the doors of your home, when you could send your children to the park, and you'd have to worry about somebody, you know, the gangbangers or the drug pushers and all this, you know. You could send your children to the school. They could walk to the school. Remember the days when you could walk to school?
I did 2 round trips every day.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
You went home for lunch.
Yep.
We used to do that, too, as kids. We'd go home for lunch sometimes. You could do that. You didn't need adult supervision because it was a different world. It was a different, you know. But when we have no regard for those laws, then, you know,
chaos.
There are consequences. Mm-hmm. And that we can't see that. It's right in our face every day. But we still push to do what we want, to have it our way, our right. And again, it goes back. Is it, who's right? Who has the right to marriage? Is it your right? Anyway, but so going back to the, we'll take a break. Gosh, I didn't realize we're almost out of, we're coming to the end of the show.
I know, so fast.
All right, well, we better take a break. So we're doing it right now. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The tradition continues. I'm Father Thomas Loya inviting you to Prairie Fest.
Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th. Friday night at 7:30. Chicagoland's number one classic rock cover band, Aura. Then Saturday evening, August 8th at 7:30. Prairie Fest celebrates the British invasion with American English.
It was 20 years ago today. Such a member of the band to play.
Prairie Fest kicks off Family Day Saturday afternoon at 2 with animal shows for kids, the Innisfree Folk Ensemble, followed by Harvest Moon. Sunday is Polka Day, beginning with Polka Generations at 11 a.m., the Polish Highlanders Dance Troupe, Eddie Carosa Jr., and the Czechoslovak Moravian Society Dancers. Prairie Fest also has a beer garden, food, children's games, church and prairie tours, $5,000 raffle, and more. Complete details for Prairie Fest are at the events link at ByzantineCatholic.com. ByzantineCatholic.com. Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th, at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Wow, this show has gone really, really, really fast. I can't believe it. Do you have any comments, anything to say, any observations, any reflections?
It's just well put. It doesn't apologize for God having laws. No reason to say, oh, well, what does God know? His laws should be followed.
So what do you say, Geraldine, if somebody comes up to you and they're conflicted or they're whatever, you know, it's not even, by the way, you know, we've been focused on same-sex marriage because this has become the law of the land, but
right.
We've got to, at some point, we've got to, as the letter to the Mormons states so clearly, I just love the way they bring in the word, you know, chastity.
Yes.
Now, with difficulty, okay, we understood, but this is a call that goes out to all people.
Yes.
All people.
Yes.
So if we, in other words, geez, you think of the children in the schools today, and in fact, this is one of the another commentary that I was reading this morning about this redefinition of marriage, that it really has children are not considered.
They
never have been.
You know,
even when they say it, oh, it's for the children. It's never for the children.
How does a child come into life? And that child has a right to know its mother and father. Now, the reality is, because what this commentary was suggesting or stating, and that is this redefinition of marriage, basically, it, in a sense, almost makes null and void the necessity for a man and a woman to be married to have children. Well, of course, we all know that you don't have to be married and have children. But the standard, the norm, was that that it was understood, at least at some point in time, right, that this is the way we do it. This is how the society does it. This is how we safeguard and protect not only the institution of marriage, which is the family wherein that child comes into life, but then that life is nurtured, that life is protected, that life is safeguarded, that life is taught. They're prepared to be good citizens of the land, law-abiding. That they're a gift from God, entrusted to parents and to the family, and destined ultimately for eternal life, so that there's this concern for their salvation as well, right?
Right.
A concern for their salvation. But this redefinition of marriage takes... It makes null and void, basically. Because then the bishop from California, Los Angeles, Archbishop Gomez, he speaks about this as well. He says we've entered into a post-Christian, even perhaps an anti-Christian moment in American public life. And at a deeper level, this decision reflects the crisis in our society's understanding of creation and the human person. He too says a crisis that has been years in the making, of course. That at the heart of liberty is a right to define one's own concept of existence, of the universe, and of the mystery of life. This goes back as far as 1992. So that last week's decision builds on this false idea of freedom. The court says it has now discovered that liberty includes men and women's right to define and express their identity by marrying somebody of the same sex and having their marriages deemed lawful. Of course, human freedom and human rights are gifts of our Creator. The law cannot confer dignity to people. Only God can. Without God, human dignity disappears. Right?
Yes.
But the opinion of the five justices in the court reflect the passions and priorities of many who lead and shape our society in the areas of law, government, education, science, industry, and the media. And this their decision expresses the same anthropocentric, man-centered, and technocratic mentality that Pope Francis warns about in his encyclical, Praise Be, that at the heart of this mentality is a rejection of the idea of creation and human nature, everything, the natural world, our social institutions, our physical bodies, even our very selves, everything becomes a kind of raw material that we can engineer according to our will, using technology, psychology, and even law and social policy. So the technocratic mindset explains the audacious tone of the ruling. The court expresses thoughts about the transcendent purposes of marriage and its importance as a keystone of our social order, but it acknowledges that marriage has existed for millennia and across civilizations. But they do not accept that human sexuality and marriage are part of the order of creation. For them, they are just constructs that are free to that we are free to reconstruct according to our preferences. And that's why these justices can assume they have the wisdom to recreate this institution that has been the foundation, the very foundation of human civilization. This is why they can presume the power to discard the definition of marriage that has existed since the beginning of history as a lifelong union of one man and one woman. So this is this work of social engineering written in emotional and often sentimental language reduces marriage to a mere mechanism for satisfying personal desires for expression, intimacy, spirituality. The new right to the same-sex marriage responds to the universal fear that a lonely person might call out only to find no one there. This is not a vision of the human person that is worthy of America's founders. Mm-hmm. The founders built this country on the belief that men and women are created with equal dignity by our Creator, but this is precisely what the decision denies, our createdness, our createdness. We're created. We're created. And therefore, this sense that we defer to God, to the laws of God, to the natural order of things, that there are distinctions. Mm-hmm. There are distinctions. I was reading this morning, too, and we're just about out of time, but I forgot where. But they really are, you know, you decide who you are. If you're going to be a boy, you decide you're a boy. If you're going to be if you're a boy, but you want to be a girl, you decide it. And so that there has to be this we have to extend to people the freedom to decide. Mm-hmm. So that if a boy wants to use a girl's washroom, you know, dangerous. If he thinks he's
This is dangerous. But dysfunctional thought.
And it's dangerous giving all this power to the Supreme Court. Also, these men are not elected. They are human beings, and they are not right a lot of the time.
Well, we're out of time, Geraldine, so you got the last word there. So anyway, I commend the president of the Mormon Church for this letter that is to be read. It just is again, very succinct, right to the point. Mm-hmm. And this is who we are. This is to the people. This is who we are. This is what we believe. This is what we espouse. We defer to God above all things, first and foremost. And God will ensure reasonable harmony and peace and proper order as we're in this world that is so disordered. We need God's law to protect us and to save us. No, Jesus, of course, is the Savior. He's the Messiah. We defer to Him in all things. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend, a very blessed and joyful celebration of Independence Day. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The